following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode number 11. I'm your host, Graydoll. Tonight will be another Graydoll solo episode. As Jason has said on previous shows, he lives in the South, here in the States. And like other states, you guys are getting hammered with snow and ice and sleet and all that fun stuff. His electricity is up and down, so of course he doesn't want to risk kicking on the PC and getting it blown, just like the great blackout brownout of 2013. So, solo episode tonight. Today's record date and time is 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's January 28th. Let's just roll into the show. So for me, what I've been doing gaming-wise this past week, we met for our D&D game run by my friend Greg. We're playing the Shackled City campaign. We made level 2, so woohoo. Little level 2 wizard, so hey, take what I can get. I also played a little bit of Guild Wars 2. I had started back in GW2 on a thief. Just wasn't very impressed with it. Switched to my Elementalist, which I like a lot. And during that time, I received my birthday package. I don't think it's a year. Is it a 2 year already? But anyways, whenever your account is a certain time, it's been around for a certain amount of time, you're given the birthday package, which has, of course, some XP boosts and magic find and things like that. One of the nice little things that you're given is a bump for a character to level 20. So, started a Norn. Did I do Norn? I did Norn. I did a Norn Guardian, bumped her to level 20, and have been just running through Queensland because that's my favorite zone. No, it's not Queensland. Oh, good grief. I can't remember. The human area. I've been running through the human area, just doing the dailies, doing the hearts, and of course working on some gear and crafting. I also, as I tweeted earlier this week, I've reloaded the Secret World. I've been playing on that a little bit. It's fun. I like it. I enjoy it. It's a buy-to-play game, so if you enjoy modern MMOs with a absolutely 100% HP Lovecraftian Cthulhu influence, then this is the game for you. I am in one of our guilds here for a sister show, Beyond the Veil. We have a guild for each three of the factions. You can find me under Oerdeth, O-E-R-D-E-T-H. I play under the Illuminati. So I've just been running around doing some missions, trying to get the ability points to further spec out my shotgun. So that's pretty much what's... Oh, and I also kickstarted the repopulation. Jason's really pumped about this game. This is the science fiction MMO that's coming out that's very sandboxy, very open world. They compare themselves to a modern or a reimagining of Star Wars Galaxies. So I got in with 9 hours left to go. This game is massively well funded. You can still find it on Kickstarter. Their website is therepopulation.com. Now, of course, they're continuing on with stretch goals. So, we've talked about it. You can find it on one of our previous shows or check out the website. Looks like a neat game. We'll see how it goes. Let's go into news. So, some of the news this week. Today, and this is one I'm really happy about, really excited for, BioShock Infinite's Burial at Sea Episode 2 trailer was released. This is the DLC for BioShock Infinite, where Booker and Elizabeth go back to Rapture from the original BioShock. The trailer is neat, it's awesome, it's great. It does contain spoilers for episode 1 of Burial at Sea, so don't watch it if you haven't played the DLC yet. And this is not a spoiler, but just because you get it in the first second of the trailer, and they've announced it. But it looks like this DLC, or I'm sorry, this episode will be from Elizabeth's point of view, not Booker's, as you finish what you started in episode 1 of Burial at Sea. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Moving on, another little bit of news. Sony Online Entertainment. And they actually did this, not this week, I think they actually announced this Friday. Oh, yeah, it was last week, I guess. But anyways, they announced that they are revising the All Access Pass, that's the station All Access Pass, for their games. This is kind of their, Ubisoft Play, or their, what's the other one, ARK, if you do Star Trek Online. Just essentially, it allows you to access any of their games from this login service, patch the games, blah, 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 blah. Well, they're revising it on or around April 2nd of this year. What they will do for $14.99, standard monthly MMO charge, you will be able to access any and all Sony games. Now, yes, all of their games currently are free to play, but for $15 a month, you will be able to access all their games as a subscribing member. So for EverQuest 2, you'll be able to play that free blood. You'll be able to access the Beast Lord class. You'll be able to turn right around and jump into EverQuest 1. You'll be able to play as a member in, what is it, Planetside. So there you go. That's a neat little thing. Also, when EverQuest Next comes out, this will be lumped in. So there you go. You're a subscriber to all of their games. They did also announce, Sony also announced, they're dropping some of their current titles. I don't know how some of you feel about that. You can check it out. They're dropping Star Wars Attack of the Clones. They're dropping Vanguard. There was one other, and I don't remember what it was. But you can check it out at Sony Online, SOE.com. Let's see, moving on. We've talked about this game, Jason and I have, on and off the air, EVE Online. You know, I've played with some friends, local friends here, who, when we first started Star Trek Online, they had said this is what they had wanted Star Trek Online to be. They wanted it to be EVE. They wanted it to be down to the last little detail of management, of training, of acquiring supplies, blah, 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 blah. And you know, it's cliche, people say it. For me, EVE Online was the spreadsheet. It was playing a spreadsheet. It didn't have that MMO feel. It felt like a simulation. It was like I was playing a spaceship sim as opposed to an MMO, because everything was automated. And yeah, I know, that's probably the beginning of the game, the early levels, for lack of a better word. But you know, I just eventually got to the point where I was like, why am I paying $15 a month to just right-click a mission, set as destination, click the A for autopilot, and just sit there for 5 minutes while I fly? No thanks. No thanks. Now, I didn't like to play it. I like to talk about it. Yesterday, EVE Online had its largest to date, and in 10 years, largest to date space battle. You can find these articles everywhere, but the one I read was on PCGamer.com. The title of the article essentially is, you know, huge space battle in EVE Online over an unpaid bill. So essentially what had happened is a corporation had not paid for a storage facility or a docking facility in one part of this, wherever they were. Which, of course, then opened up that sector of space, that section of the game, for anyone else to move in and take over. And that's exactly what a lot of people did. This, I don't even know how long this battle lasted, but they said that it started with the European players. It went on so long that they actually, the North American players got home from work that day, and were able to jump in and help with the battle. So that, man, that's probably like a 3 or 4 hour battle. It was a devastating battle. They say, let's see here, they said that it and ship destruction, it was equal to $300 million of real-world material. And I, what I assume that means is that if you paid real cash for the amount of material, whether that means on the auction house or I'm assuming like if you paid real cash, like a gold seller type of thing, to buy the materials to make these ships, it was $300 million in real-world material cost. In-game, their currency is ISK, I-S-K. It was $2 trillion, trillion with a T, 2 trillion ISKs of damage. And again, I'm not familiar with the ship class. I know it is, I believe, the largest ship in the game. But all said and done, 70 Titans on all sides were lost. Which, just from the little bit of the game I've played and knowing that just some skills take weeks, literal, real-time weeks to train, I can only imagine how long, how much material, how much money these Titans took to build, and 70 of them were lost. That doesn't even describe your little fighters, your carriers, your frigates, your whatever. 70 Titans were lost. 300 million real-world dollars worth of materials gone. That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm sure you can go to YouTube. I know someone had to have been recording a lot of that battle. The few screenshots I've seen are just crazy epic. Picture, and I hate to reference it because we all hate it, Episode 3, Attack of the Clones, Star Wars. That first opening battle where they're attacking Coruscant and it's just capital ships everywhere and laser blasts going all over the place and fighters filling up your screen. That's what it kind of looks like, but of course on a much bigger scale than that. So check it out. It's really cool. As I said, I did kickstart the repopulation, the sandbox game, the repopulation.com. You can go there. The website is fully functioning as far as media, manuals on the game, the classes, this and that and this and that. Also at the top, you'll see sign up for beta. I know Jason will be happy to hear about that. So jump on in. The game is funded. Of course, it just received funding, so they are nowhere near even alpha. But go ahead and sign up for beta. Who knows? Maybe you'll get in on a pre-alpha to just test character models or something. Check it out. ESO, Elder Scrolls Online. A game there again I've talked about on the show. I've talked about with Jason in great length. I could not get into Skyrim. I couldn't do it. Now, I've been in the ESO beta, almost all of them, except for the first one. The game is beautiful. Game looks great. It's Skyrim. It's online MMO Skyrim. It looks great. I'm really waffling on this. I don't know if I want to play it or not. But anyways, they've just announced that PlayStation 4 players, you will not have to have a PlayStation Plus membership. So I take that literally to mean you buy the game, you can play it. Now, will you have to pay for updates, content? Maybe. I don't know. They haven't said. I have no idea. But you will not have to have a PlayStation Plus membership. Xbox One owners, guess what? You will have to have your Xbox Live Gold account in order to play Elder Scrolls Online. PC players, we know what's coming, $15 a month. And I'm sure there'll be discounts for paying for multiple months, whatever. But, yeah, that's kind of neat. I don't know if they have a special deal with Sony. I don't know if they're working, if they're partnered. But, yeah, if you chose PlayStation, I guess you chose right. I guess you chose correctly. Titanfall. PC and Xbox players, I know you're looking forward to this. If you enjoy shooters, if you enjoy team-based PvP type games. The Titanfall beta is rumored to begin on February 14th. There have been some hints. There have been a few little, very slightly revealing tweets that have gone out. This, of course, is releasing on PC and Xbox, but they're kind of hinting around that February 14th is when the beta may begin. Looks pretty cool. Run around with your mech and do what you got to do, but that's kind of cool. That's about all I have for the game news this week. I usually rely on Jay to help me fill those ranks a little bit, but yeah, you know, you do what you got to do. So we'll go ahead and move on to geeky stuff. As I've reported on a lot of our previous shows, the KODT Kickstarter, the Knights of the Dinner Table comic book, their Kickstarter currently is $36,000 and some change funded out of $60,000 with 8 days to go. Now, Ken Whitman, who is the owner of D20 Entertainment, the company that will actually produce the movie, sent a tweet out a couple days ago, probably early last week, and he said that a local company has donated the cameras and studio equipment for filming the movie, the web series. Now, I haven't seen any changes on the Kickstarter as far as the amount they want or the amount they need, but I'm assuming they're still shooting for that 60. Now, will they do the show with less than 60 since they are having the cameras and whatever donated? I don't know. But Jolly Blackburn, the creator of Knights of the Dinner Table, posted late last week that as a bonus for those who fund $200, if you're a $200 pledge member, they are putting out a limited run hardcover art book of every cover of the Knights of the Dinner Table comic book from issue 1. I'm assuming it's probably through issue 200, just so they can pick a good point to begin production. But these books will be signed by Jolly Blackburn, I'm assuming, maybe his wife, some of the other guys who are involved at Kinzer Co. And they will also be a limited run. There will only be 250 of these books produced, the hardcover books. They said there's going to be an unlimited run on softcover version. Very cool, very awesome. That's $200 to help them get going. I'm not going to be doing that amount. I did a little bit less than that. I have been collecting the comics since issue 19, so I've got them all, and it's $200. That's a little steep for me at the moment, post-Christmas. But there we go. Eight days left to go. If you enjoy Knights of the Dinner Table, if you remember them from Shadis or the Dragon magazine D&D put out, give them some support. And the last little thing under geeky news I wanted to talk about is back in 2012... on Kickstarter, I funded a project called Nistel's Infinite Dungeon. Now, if you're a D&D gamer, that name probably rings a bell, Nistel's. And that is Mike Nistel of Nistel's Magical Aura and all kinds of other, in my opinion, fairly meh spells. But Mike lives here in Austin, Texas. And he put out a Kickstarter in 2012. He wanted to create something, a huge mega dungeon called Nistel's Infinite Dungeon. It, from what I saw, what I read, and I kind of liked it, picture, if you will, from the early 2000s, the world's largest dungeon, along those lines. But this was going to be a revamping of, I don't remember who did it, I imagine he did it, a big dungeon from way back when called the Killer Dungeon. So it was going to be that. It's going to be huge. We're going to be, I think he said, 10 to 12 poster-sized maps of the dungeon, which would be levels in it. So that's gigantic. So this seemed really cool to me. It was kind of a local Texas gamer You know, he did some Shadowrun material for FOSSA way back in the day. And, he, of course, he was a D&D contributor, so I Kickstartered $100 to get this thing going. And he was funded. The dungeon was funded. Now, here we are, January 2014. We still haven't seen anything to date. We have not seen a single thing. So, I've been kind of keeping up on the... I'm not going to say that. I obviously have not been keeping up on it. But it kind of came to the forefront of my thought the other day. Hey, what's going on with my Kickstarter? So, I started looking. Now, Mike Nistel has been running a blog on Blogspot. Just kind of updating everyone every once in a while. Hey, got this drawn. Hey, got this written. These are sent off to here for editing. Blah, 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 blah. Well, the blog is gone. The domain is up for sale. So, you know, first red flag. Then I started Googling him. And there, the first page of Google under Nistel's Infinite Dungeon was just articles from back in 2012. You know, EN World, Drive-Thru RPG. Oh, here's this new thing. Here's Kickstarter, blah, blah, blah. Well, the second page had Mike Nistel, the failed Kickstarter. Mike Nistel runs his business into the ground. So, what has happened is, apparently Mike got his money for the Kickstarter. Yeah, we were all, if you Kickstarted this thing, we were billed. We were already billed. We already paid for it. And the general consensus of these articles I've read is that they don't think he was intentionally stealing our money, but he just obviously didn't manage it well. He grew too fast. He didn't have the business savvy to manage the money. He said he had hired staff. I imagine he probably went out and bought a lot of computers, a lot of software, you know, the licenses and all that stuff that he needed. It got so bad that he started a second Kickstarter. This was for, what was this? I honestly don't remember what this one was for, but he collected money off of it, ran whatever into the ground, and started even a third Kickstarter for another RPG. So essentially what he was doing, as it later came out, is he was using Kickstarters to fund, to try and fund the previous Kickstarters. Now things have, of course, gone south, whatever. On Nistel's Infinite Dungeon, someone, and I don't remember the guy's name, it's in the article at rpggeek.com, has bought the Infinite Dungeon, is going to continue producing the game, and has said that they will honor the game. So for me, with my level of support, I was supposed to get a hard copy of the game, the book, the hardbound book. I was supposed to get all the maps. I was supposed to get PDF versions of them. And I believe even some stretch goals were, you know, we see them today in gaming stores. They're the little kind of paper cutouts of monsters that you kind of fold over into a triangle, little cheapy miniatures, stuff like that. I think there were supposed to be some tokens and all this. The company has said they will not honor the stretch goals. That is on Mike. And his track record speaks for himself. I'm sure we will not see any of those stretch goals. Whether we see the game itself, it remains to be seen. But I say all that to say, if you have Kickstarted a project by Mike Nistel, N-Y-S-T-U-L, Google it, find any kind of information you can, because more than likely, you've been screwed over, just like me. You're out of your Kickstarter, and you're probably never going to see whatever it was you funded. So in the future, if you see something by Mike Nistel pop up, screw that. Just don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. And that's kind of why I wanted to bring this up. Not as a sob story, not poor me, but just to let you, the listener, know, hey, that's what this guy's doing. Like I said, I don't think he's doing it maliciously. He just obviously doesn't know how to manage money. He doesn't know how to run a business. But that's no need to help him out with everything that comes along. Screw that. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. That's what I'm saying. So with that being said, it's kind of a shorty show today, but, well, you know, I don't have my sidekick here to bounce ideas off and engage in our little back and forth. So we're pretty much going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to check out our sister podcast here at holosuitemedia.com. Like I said, I'm in the Beyond the Veil Cabal, the Beyond the Veil Guild in the Secret World. You can find their show at Holosuite Media. We also have a worthy opponent. That's Black Lace, who does our intros and outros. Her and her husband, Autumn's Bane, do a show about World of Warcraft's Hearthstone. You can also find Star Trek Online here at holosuitemedia.com. We have Tribbles in Ecstasy. Be sure to check that out. They also have in-game fleets. That's what they call them, not guilds. They call them fleets. Look for Katsu, K-A-T-Z-U. He can hook you up. We'll just close it out here, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.